T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Any of us who have ever had any connection with the Patriots were saddened with the news this morning. I found out just before 9 o'clock when John and Jerry went on the air with it that former New England Patriots wide receiver Darrell Stingley passed away last night at his home in Chicago at the age of 55. We don't know the cause of death as yet. They'll perform an autopsy later today. And, you know, we can talk about Darrell. We've had a chance to meet him and talk to him, but we really wanted to talk with people who knew him much better than we ever did. And we've got two of them on the line with us right now. We will introduce them right now. First guy is a longtime friend, former New England Patriot, and my colleague when I was doing the NFL Sunday Days, Patriots Pro Bowl linebacker Steve Nelson's on one line. Hey, Nelly, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Dale.
It's
how you doing, Mike?
Hey, Nelly.
It's nice to talk to you under crummy circumstances, obviously, and we'll, on the same line with Nelly, we will be joined as well by former Patriots quarterback Steve Grogan. Hey, Steve.
Dale, Michael, how are you?
Steve, doing all right.
Good.
I assume, and Grogs, we'll start with you. I assume it kind of kicked you in the gut like it did us when you heard about this morning.
Yeah, it did. It was totally unexpected. I hadn't really heard much about Darrell in recent years, but to hear that he was gone was not a welcome thing to hear first thing in the morning today.
Nelly, I know that you had talked to Darrell on a number of occasions over the years as well. How did you get the word today?
I was watching SportsCenter, and like Steve, it was just a real hollow feeling, and he was such an inspiration, and the way he lived his life, and it's really a sad day.
You know, it's, Steve and Nelly, so many people have talked about what a great guy he was and the compassion that he had. Could you give us some examples, even before the injury, of just his character?
He was a guy in the locker room that always kept it loose. He was just fun to be around. He played hard, was a very good wide receiver, but was a great guy in the locker room, and everybody enjoyed being around him. And I think that's why it was so devastating when he got hurt. He just was a guy that was always on the go, always doing something, and suddenly he couldn't do much of anything, and that was hard to take.
Yeah, he was always the life of the party, and, you know, he was the number one draft choice the year before I was drafted, and, you know, he welcomed all the rookies. It didn't matter if you were drafted or a free agent or, you know, who you are. He treated everybody the same, and he was as nice a person as you'll ever meet.
Steve, as a quarterback in the National Football League, you go out on the field knowing that injury is obviously a possibility, although you pray it doesn't happen. It's a possibility on any play. Did you find that the injury to Darrell Stingley almost changed the way you viewed games while you were playing in them from that day on?
Well, from that day on, not only games I was playing in, but games I was watching, whenever a player went to the ground, the first thing I looked for was some kind of movement from his arms and legs. That was something I just, even to this day, when I watch a football game, when I see somebody down, I want to see him moving because I don't want to see somebody have to go through what happened to Darrell.
Yeah, I was telling the story earlier, Grogs, of that preseason game in Milwaukee where Stanley Morgan got hit.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing, unfortunately, it was the first thing I thought of was, you know, just please get up now.
Well, and Darrell was sitting on the sidelines for that game, which made it even worse. I mean, he's sitting over there, you know what's happened to him, and then you see Stanley down on the field, and you're thinking this couldn't happen twice, could it? Fortunately, Stanley got up. And I told people over the years, I've seen hits before Darrell's and after Darrell's hundreds and hundreds of times, similar type hits, and the guys get up and brush themselves off. And for some reason, that one day in 1978, Darrell just caught it the wrong way and did not get up.
I'd like both of you guys to answer this next question. Nelly, I'll begin with you. Was there any sense of bitterness or anger toward the Raiders on that day in 1978 following the hit?
Well, what I remember, Mike, is Coach Fairbanks, with a couple minutes left in the game, you know, Darryl got injured, I think, in the second quarter. But after about a couple minutes left in the game, it was a preseason game, he told us all to get right in the locker room, not to shake hands or anything else. So we all went in the locker room. And we all knew that it was going, you know, news about Darryl. And, you know, Coach addressed us and said, you know, Darryl's had a serious injury, and you know, we're going to get through this, and Darryl's going to stay in the Oakland area, and you know, let's get going and get out of here. And I think all of us on that plane ride home, Mike, we all had kind of the same feelings. We all had the feeling like, you know, is this worth it? Is the game worth it? You know, Darryl's in our, you know, our prayers and in our hearts, and I think we all questioned if we wanted to play football anymore. So it was one of the eeriest days of my life, because, you know, we had plane trouble. We had to go back to Oakland. It was just, you know, one of those days that you never hope to relive again. And, again, it was just a traumatic experience for the football team. And we did harbor resentment to the Raiders, and we played them later on in the regular season on a Sunday night game. And I know, especially, you know, Russ Francis, who was very close to Darryl, he wanted to get a shot at Tatum. And, you know, we all felt that way. And it was a very strong feeling.
You know, it's a tough game played by tough men, but I almost never feel that anybody is trying to go out there and injure someone. Groggs, did you ever feel that Jack Tatum was trying to injure people?
Yeah, especially when he came out after the fact and with a book that said he was trying to do that. And I think Michael asked a question a minute ago. The Raiders, and from what I understand, Coach Madden was very good to Darryl when he was out there in the hospital, would visit him. It was Jack Tatum that was the real problem when he was bragging about the fact that he had done what he'd done to Darryl. That was what was hard to take, and that was hard to forgive.
Tell me, Groggs, what kind of football player Darryl was, because unfortunately his career got cut shorter than it should have been. What kind of wide receiver was this guy?
Oh, he was good. He'd catch the ball anywhere, over the middle, down the field. Not the greatest speed in the world, but enough speed he could separate, great hands. Just knew how to play the position, knew how to get open, and was in the process of teaching Stanley Morgan that kind of thing. Stanley was a young wide receiver under Darryl, and he passed along a lot of what he knew about the position to Stanley, who went on to have a great career with the Patriots.
Steve Groggan, you mentioned Jack Tatum's book, They Call Me Assassin. Did you ever have words personally with Jack Tatum? Did you ever say anything to him?
No. Never had the was never in the same place he was at the same time, and I'm glad I really wouldn't have wanted to talk to him about it.
Nelly,
you know, Michael, you know, it wasn't just Tatum. It was George Atkinson. It was, you know, the Raiders, you know, had this mystique or, you know, image that they were, you know, they'd play outside the rules. And, you know, Tatum absolutely tried to hurt players, as did George Atkinson. And, you know, that whole team had that mentality.
I had the opportunity to meet Darryl the first time Patriots were playing. Well, I didn't meet him at the preseason game in Milwaukee, but I met him later on. He was in Indianapolis watching a Patriots game there. And the impression I got, and you guys knew him better than I did, Groggs, the impression I got was that he had finally found some peace in his life. And it finally, I think at that point, kind of resolved some of the issues that he had in his own mind about what had happened.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's hard for a guy that was so vivacious and so full of life to go to being confined to that chair. And as anybody would, Darryl struggled with it for a long time. But then he kind of got everything back together. From what I understand, he went back and finished his college degree and was working for the city with kids in the inner city, and was really feeling good about himself and what he was doing. And I was glad to see that.
You know, you guys, when you played, the salaries were nothing like they are today. The bonuses were nothing like they are today. So a pension means something to a player who played in the 70s and 80s. I'm wondering if you guys believe that if the NFL did enough for Darryl Stingley and other players of the 70s and 80s who may have run into some other problems.
Well, I think they can do a lot more. I think, you know, I don't know exactly what you know, how Darryl was, you know, taken care of by the union and the league, but certainly in circumstances like Darryl and his injury that he suffered and at the age he suffered it and, you know, his children and, all those facts, I think, you know, I don't know if he was, taken care of as he should have. But, you know, traditionally in the 70s and 80s, players weren't. And, you know, it's getting better, and each collective bargaining agreement is getting better for players who have disabilities. And I think it's becoming much more public now. And, you know, there's been a recent thing that Bob Costas did. And so I think, you know, the average fan is getting to kind of understand what happens and to some players who do get injured and how they're taken care of.
I will say this, that the Sullivan family, as long as they owned the team, from what I understand, had Darryl a position in the organization. He didn't necessarily come back here to work for the organization, but he would do things for the organization from his home in Chicago, and they made sure that he was getting paid to do that as long as they had the team. And I thought that was something that they wouldn't have had to have done, but did it anyway.
Yeah, he was in charge of scouting in the Big Ten area. You know, he's a Purdue guy, and he lived in Chicago. And like Steve said, the Sullivan family really, really backed up Darryl and showed a lot of class.
Nelly, you've got daughters, so it wasn't an issue for you. Groggs, you've seen your son play football at a very high level. I wonder what it was like for Darryl to watch his son Derek play in the Arena Football League, knowing better than any of us what the dangers were. I wonder how hard it was for Darryl to watch that.
I'm sure it was hard, but I'm sure he was very proud of what he was doing. Anytime you see your children being successful, you're proud of that. And again, we talked about football is a game of injuries, and you expect to see injuries. You don't expect to see the catastrophic injuries like Darryl, and I would think that Darryl probably understood that it was just a chance that you take when you go on the football field, and that's what he would have told his son.
Nelly, I read a quote from Darryl's mom in the Chicago paper today. She said, 28 years he struggled with this. Now he doesn't have to struggle anymore. I mean, when his own mom feels that way, I guess it probably carries a little weight to think of it just in those terms.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it seems like it was yesterday, and sometimes it seems like it was 20 years ago. But you're right, Dale. What he was faced with as a young man and young family and, you know, a world-class athlete, and all of a sudden to be stricken and to be living in a chair the rest of his life, and the way he handled it, you know, was really inspiring. And I guess his mother's found some peace now, and that's very important, obviously. But again, I think anyone who's ever met Darryl left a mark, you know, with you.
Well, it's always fun to talk with you guys. I wish it was under better circumstances than today, but Nelly, thank you. Groggs, thank you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts about Darryl today. We appreciate it.
You got it.
Thank you very much.
You guys take care. That is former Patriots Pro Bowl linebacker Steve Nelson, former Patriots Pro Bowl quarterback Steve Groggs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.